lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic of Podcast.
Boys.
How we going?
We're back.
Episode 111.
111. Name me 111 racer.
Who was it? Someone had 111, didn't they?
Grant Langston for our motocross fans. How'd I pull that out of my head is actually unbelievable.
Grant Langston back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
remember. I had a signed poster of him when I was a kid.
That's probably where I remember it by.
Yeah, you probably do. You would definitely know that.
Did someone run 111 in MotoGP or am I dreaming that?
I don't think there's been a triple number.
333. I'm sure someone ran a 333.
The devil ran 666. Yeah, yeah, Gertie, what do we got? He's already chiming
no
in.
No way.
You got a stiffy or something.
Teddy
Blazusiak?
Yeah, that's
Fuck
it.
Fuck, I'm good. Hang on. Where'd you... for 111. Yeah, Enduro. Do you know how Teddy Blazusiak started? In the Erzberg Rodeo, he was a person that was just like... You had your full factory guys and anyone could enter it. The hardest enduro race in the world. He goes out and fact check me. Cody, you're going to have to fact check me on this. But I believe he went out with his own bike as like a fan and either won it or podiumed and then got like a KTM.
That's
factory.
Unreal.
Teddy Blazusiak, look him up.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, it's something along those lines.
On tonight's episode, obviously, Saudi Arabia, F1.
Yeah,
interesting race, a couple of talking points, looking forward to that. And a few little news stories out of MotoGP. Jorge Martin released from hospital today, so... Poor bastard's got to stay in Qatar for a few more days, but he seems to be out soon. So, yeah, we always want to say thank you, James, always to our sponsors, Motor Heaven.
Yep, motorheaven.com.au. Check out their website. The guys down there, awesome. They have heaps and heaps and heaps of cool stuff out. All your parts, accessories, showy helmets. Got some Easter sale stuff on now. Everything's discounted. They're running 8% off showy, I think, or 7 or 8% off showy. Same with Alpine Stars. 10% off Dry Rider. Like, everything is discounted. So
yeah, get involved, guys.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as always, Nemean.clothing, our friends over there. Just jump on their website, have a look at their products they've got. It's pretty cool, futuristic sort of... motorcycle protection, so get around it.
Yeah, for sure.
And as always, guys, subscribers on YouTube, really appreciate it. Like, subscribe. We're gonna have Patreon once a month. Obviously, jump on board for our patriots.
Yep, for our patriots, for our patriots,
a patriots,
our Republic of Patriots. And we'll actually be filming our next one pretty soon. It's actually getting later on in the month, so then we'll do a debrief of this month's racing.
Yes.
So, check
Cody,
it out.
Back to you.
Second round of the 2024 Spanish Hard Enduro. He was on the Stark Varg, completely stock standard.
You know what happened to him on the Stark Varg, though?
What happened?
It malfunctioned on him, and because they normally like ride the clutch, so they can. It's like they're all like ex trials riders.
Yeah.
But it just launched out underneath him, hit another guy in the head, took him out, and then he ripped up his contract on the Stark Varg.
Far out. Okay.
There you go. Just the useless knowledge that I possess is ridiculous.
It's unbelievable because there's no other... You would use this in no other place than right now, right?
Nah,
here.
Nah.
It may come up in conversation one day.
Yeah.
But it's pretty impressive.
I've never had that conversation with anyone. Now it's just on the podcast. But see, this is the crazy thing is if someone can tell me their name and it's in my ear and out the other and I'll remember it. You're the same. Remember a useless stat like that.
Yeah,
same with school. We're both pretty retarded in school and...
Still are.
Yeah.
Still are.
That's why we're doing podcasting.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, F1s.
The amount of messages we've got from why... why Oscar Piastri is so fast in questionable countries.
is that what we've been... Oh,
yeah, we've been copping a lot of that.
That's interesting. Questionable countries.
And I like how people come to us for that.
I think we're like we're like the glue of the conspiracy theorists, the
wrestling fans
against the fake news corporations. It's like they gravitate over to us, which we love. So, but yeah, it was not a bad little race actually. I enjoyed it. I mean, we got a lot of people said it was boring and stuff, and obviously as it always is, it's a race to the first corner. As the first corner was quite a controversial one.
Yeah.
Penalty wise, what did we think? Max deserved it?
I don't know, man. If they just called that as a racing incident, I probably would have been, okay, play on, if I'm going to be honest. I know Danby, I was on my run today and I had like 7 messages in a row from Danby about it.
Yeah.
And
I find like Danby always just goes against the narrative sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I think deep down he goes, yeah, that's the rules. It's penalty.
Yeah.
Max was never going to make the corner. Max was still turning left as he was off the track. So he never had a chance to make the corner. Yes, Oscar just made the corner inside the line, but at the end of the day, you can't just skip across the runoff and go back to the lead and not have any penalty.
Unless you're Valentino Rossi and Assen like 2016.
Rules change. The rules change in motorsport because of these guys. But
you know what? Look, I would almost agree with it either side of it, to be honest. I really don't mind the decision, but if they didn't make that decision, I'm like, oh, it's just good hard racing. But what annoys me, and I think we're only having these conversations because these new tracks, and these new tracks with like, they don't have runoff. They're all just like concrete sand traps, I guess you could say. And this is what happens. This creates that. How different would that corner look if it was a grass and a sand trap?
Yeah, I know. I mean,
they would all make the corner.
It'll look very true. It'll look very funny sand in Saudi Arabia. They should use the desert sand.
Yeah, they should. But you know what I mean?
It's like, just an awkward first. It's just an awkward first corner. Full stop. It's sort of a 90-degree left chicane, and their cars look awkward coming in and out of the corner.
That's okay, and that's fine. But I think they should. I'm just don't agree with all this concrete runoff.
Oh, 100%.
I think it just it invites people for those moves, and then there's controversial decisions. But they're all world-class drivers. They're going to make the corner anyway. They will drive to the elements of the track. Look at Monza.
Yeah, 100%. And going back to that point, if you looked at Verstappen and he goes in his head, that's the best thing I could have done.
Yeah.
Because if he just gave the position back or went in behind Oscar, he's still finishing second. He's got to give himself a chance to get out in front. Gets the penalty, yes, but there still might be a slight possibility. 100%. So of course he's going to take that. He is the best in the world at twisting the rules perfectly for his gain, I suppose.
And Exhibit A is when they're talking about the penalty, and straight away is like, that wasn't what was said in the driver's briefing.
Yeah,
and the dude's doing 300 k's an hour.
Yeah.
He's already ahead of the game in how he thinks and how tactical he is. But my point is that corner would look so different if there was just no room for error.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And in some certain situations, it works, like the S's through Coda. You know, you don't have to have a big gravel trap through there. Like, I get it.
Mm.
But I think in something like those real tight chicanes where it's always going to throw up this controversial decision, just fucking, you got enough sand in Saudi Arabia to dump a little bit more in.
Yeah, I agree.
Or pebbles. It really is actually pebbles.
Yeah, pebbles. Very thick pebbles. But I mean, they've tried those banana curbs before, but then cars just launch off them if they're going in backwards and stuff. I mean, you saw
those big raised curbs.
Yeah, like you saw that Alex Pironi incident, the Aussie in Monza, that the second corner. That's when the car just launched.
Like, it was like a glitch in a PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah, I'm sure if anyone hasn't seen that, go Alex Pironi crash Monza. I think it was F3 or F. Yeah, it was F3.
Not related to Pironi beers.
And Aussie guy. We actually spoke to him before, trying to get him on the pod, but I was trying to line it up. He launched into the atmosphere. Couldn't believe it. So
it was like a car. It was like a car high side.
There's a lot of different opinions. This is what I think. I think the rule's wrong. So first of all, he cuts the corner. He goes back in front of Oscar, gets a 5-second time penalty. Liam Lawson later in the race does the same thing, gets a 10-second time penalty. Where's the correlation?
Yeah.
Because it's a first lap incident, first corner, they're a little more lenient. They always have been. That's the rules. So law lenient, give him a 5-second.
Do you agree with that?
I had this conversation with Danby today. What? It doesn't matter what you say. It's got to be the opposite. What I think that should happen, the race director should get onto Max's team and go, give the position back now. Give the position back. If he doesn't give the position back, drive-through penalty.
Drive-through.
He's going to he always will give the position back. Has to give the... Yeah. He's not going to risk a drive-through. Drive-through penalty does not fit the crime, what he did. Doesn't fit it, but disobeying the race direction does.
Yeah, that's a great call.
So let him back through. Let the race happen naturally, because it just wrecked the race for us. Because we all knew Oscar was going to pass him in the pits. So there was no... For us, it was inevitable. Where if Max goes behind Oscar again, there's still a chance. I mean, obviously, it would have been very hard. Obviously, we all think that Oscar still would have won the race. I think we all think that. But it would have just added that little bit of an element of, or can he undercut him? Mm. Can he go long?
Mm.
You know, can he get out in fresh air like Leclerc did and you know, and change that stint and then come back with fresher tyres at the end? We knew that was going to happen because Max was going to pit. He had a 5-second time penalty. Oscar would pit the lap after and he'd be in front all day of the week.
Mm.
So it just took all the sting out of the race, and which was disappointing. But yeah, that's just, these it's going to come. How close it is this year, these incidences are going to be one after the other. And it's going to happen with Lando and Oscar.
I can't wait for that.
We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen that this year. So, yeah, it's exciting. Lando, another mistake in qualifying. I mean, it just keeps happening, doesn't it? We called it last week.
For sure. Before we get to that, we've got some results.
Yeah, bloody oath. In first place. In first place, Max Verstappen.
We can do top three, don't stress.
No. In first place, we have obviously Oscar Piastri.
Second.
But Max Verstappen second. Charles Leclerc third. Lando Norris come through the pack. He actually had quite a good race in the end, fourth. George Russell fifth. Antonelli sixth. Hamilton seventh. The Williams boys, Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon eighth and ninth. Isaac Hadjar rounding out the top 10. And shout out to Alonso finishing 11th.
Yeah, great.
Really, that car's slow. Car's slow in the speed trap. And he's, you know, he's doing everything he possibly can. So,
what were you going to say? Sorry. I had to cut you off, but what were you saying?
I forget what I was saying, actually.
Lando.
Yeah, Lando. So, for me, I mean, we spoke about this last week. It's another mistake in qualifying. And major mistake. I mean,
major.
Crashing the car. So, pressure's on for him. Comes out in the media again and says, you know, he sort of jokes about it. He's all jovial about it. But at the end of the day, he puts his helmet on and he had a decent race. But
yeah, he did have a good race.
But yeah, I mean, it's just not world championship material, is it?
You can't be doing that. You see it with all these top quality drivers is... The driving on a Saturday is where in Formula One, that's how you win titles as well. Like you got to put it on the front row, you got to put it on the pole. You can't make these types of mistakes, and he's doing it more and more. It's not obviously all the time, but like you know, you look at Oscar. The dude's just consistent. He doesn't have to be pole every time, but he's consistent. Mm. And then Max is just obviously on a whole nother level again. So
yeah, I think. Again, Max, that qualifying lap was just incredible. He's amazing around that track. And where he's performed this year is all the drivers' tracks. So, yeah, the car is underperforming.
Is Saudi a driver's track?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah. That first sector is incredible. Mm. Like, the change of the direction, as Brundle was saying... on the telecast, it's just one more corner, one more chicane, more than what you think it is, always. And if you've ever played on the game, it is left, right, left, right, left. Like, it is incredible. And it's off the throttle, off on the throttle. It's where you position the car. The back straight, there's two back straights, and in the middle of the back straight, there is a chicane, which is probably the fastest chicane on the year. And you just have to pinpoint the car perfectly an inch from the inside. Massive driver's track.
The quote of the weekend was definitely, I heard almost every driver say the walls come in real close come in real fast.
Well, it's like they say it's the third fastest track on the calendar, but it's a street circuit.
Yeah.
And the wall, there's no runoff. The walls are close. Like it is like Monza's the fastest. I think Silverstone's second fastest.
Really?
And then that's the third fastest. Yeah, it's his lap in 2021 where he crashed on the last corner. People say that was the best lap of all the time that didn't happen. This was just as good. Really, really amazing how he did that.
So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So, I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially, like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps, Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
motorheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom. But that is the they are the best in the business. Head down to motorheaven.com.au and they will look after you. He's only a point behind Lando.
I know.
Bro, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Like, and you know, we're talking about, and especially yourself, talking about these new regulations that are coming in after Barcelona, I believe.
They're fixing up this flexi wing issue that some of the teams have.
And yeah. Who knows? Look, we don't know if that's going to make a difference. But
if
that does, and Verstappen's just keeping himself in it.
Yeah.
Imagine if he goes and wins a title.
It'd be unbelievable. And everyone would be like the half people watching it, like the Drive to Survive guys, in quotation marks for listeners at home. They'll be like, oh yeah, Max won again. You know, be like, Max won again. No. Yeah. Max was down and out, down and out. It will show on the stat sheet in 20 years' time, oh, he won 5 world championships in a row. But that doesn't tell the full story.
It doesn't.
You know? The full story. So, and I'm sure we look back in history where you look at like Mick Doohan's 5 championships, for instance. I'm sure there was some instances there where he didn't have control of the year and came back. And I mean, Hamilton had that, you know, those years. And then obviously Rosberg beat him that 1 year. But it doesn't, you don't remember that. You remember him being a 5-time world champion. But yeah, that'll be, oh man, how exciting. That's the exciting part this year. The racing hasn't been up to scratch. And we've talked about the issues with following, the issues with tire temperatures, engine temperatures. It's the last year of these regulations. Mm. So it is really, they've just peaked these cars. And obviously when you peak performance and you peak the downforce, it causes a lot of turbulent air behind the car and affects obviously those things that I mentioned.
Man, it's 100%. And look, the racing hasn't been up to scratch, but it's just, you got to commend Max for staying in the fight because he's well and truly staying in the fight.
Oh yeah, 100%. And look, that qualifying lap was just, we go back, as I was saying before, Saudi Arabia, driver's track, driver makes a difference. Bahrain, they've tested there. They've all done thousands of kilometers there. He didn't perform there. Because the car, everyone is up to scratch in that car.
Got the data.
The car makes a bigger difference there. But then you go back to Suzuka, where it is the ultimate driver's track. Boom, wins the race. So you see how much the driver makes a difference. I was actually super disappointed because I really want to see the battle of James versus Mark Bandeneman Danby about Yuki Tsunoda. I was really disappointed in the first lap incident because I really wanted to see what Yuki could do.
Yeah.
Because if he just went backwards...
Yeah.
Like he was getting passed by Gasly and I'm thinking, oh, this is beautiful. I'm going to be, you know, popcorn Monday morning.
But he did eventuate. Get passed. He's got passed by the whole field while he was in the wall.
Well, yeah, but technically Gasly did have a wheel in front, so he actually did. So he did go backwards.
For our listeners, I always roll Danby up about Tsunoda underperforming and I think I get like a 6-page essay in why he's not. And then he makes every excuse in the book. I've never seen this man needs help on excuses.
He's come up a lot in the first half of this pod, but
hilarious.
He's due to come on in a couple of weeks because I'll be away. Yeah. So anyone who's been looking forward to him taking over the podcast like he usually does, let us know if James gets a word in.
I got a question for you about world champions. Do you see Charles ever becoming a world champion?
Charles Leclerc, I think. Well, he's outperforming Hamilton.
Yeah,
and I want to talk about that in a sec. But I think he's got the capability. His drive was outstanding last night. He showed that he had really good when he was out in clear air. Great on the tires. He was only 8 seconds behind Max when he came out from the first pit, and he probably pitted 10 to 12 laps after Max. Don't hold me to that one, but from memory, and I thought that was probably the drive of the day. For me,
who got driver of the day?
Max Verstappen.
Okay. But do you like
in his head? You're saying mentally.
Well, yeah, that's a factor.
Yeah,
with Ferrari, like are they up for it? Like I see Charles if he was in a McLaren doing obviously amazing, but when he's in a Ferrari, like I just He's there or thereabouts, but he's not taking it by the horns.
Yeah, it's interesting from your perspective, I suppose, looking at it. And he's got the talent. Like, we know that.
He's got the talent. It's like, obviously, the Ferrari's not there.
Yeah.
It hasn't been there for a long time. But it's just, can he... Like, he's a good enough driver to win a world title. We all know that. But is it going to happen? Are we going to see that? There's a lot of unlucky drivers and riders over the years that probably should have deserved the world title but never did. Is he going to be one of them? That's my question.
The other big thing is... And I'll touch on that question in a sec. The other big thing is in the coming years, where's Max going? Is he leaving?
There's going to be a lot of talk.
There's going to be a big vacant scene at Red Bull. There's going to be they're going to get a big driver. There's going to be a vacant scene at either one of those big top teams. So, I mean, I don't see Charles ever being in other than a red suit. I mean, I couldn't imagine him in a Red Bull suit, could you?
Marc Marquez is now in a Ducati suit.
Hamilton's in a Ferrari.
Yeah, like, there you go.
It's the same thing. You can just never imagine it. And, but I think, to be honest with you, Ferrari, they have to have that dominant car to win a championship. They're not going to come from behind. They just when you talk about this all, it's like the strategy is just not there. They're getting better at it, but it's just something about the Italians, the bloody bubbity boobity barbity Chris Sepsi, you know, like it's just something about their motor race. You know, obviously, Ducati are dominating. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
they're the opposite. They're amazing in MotoGP.
But the other thing is, if a Ducati had an equal performing bike than another team, who knows? I'm just paraphrasing here, but as you would say. But yeah, back to your question because I'm rambling on. He's definitely got world championship. If Lando Norris has world championship capabilities, then
I'm saying he 100% has world championship capabilities. What I'm saying is, can you, Tom Shavulak, see him winning a world title in the next 6 years?
No.
That's the answer. That's the answer.
So I should have just saved the last 5 minutes of me talking.
That's why we're on a podcast, though. You give this man some Ritalin, he talks like that, foaming at the side of his mouth. No, the next 6 years, you can't see him. Okay, what about this? What happens if he moves teams? He goes, I've had enough of this. I'm going to McLaren. I'm going to Mercedes.
He would only move teams if he knew that car was going to be significantly outperforming the Ferrari.
Sometimes you gotta ditch loyalty, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Can't do a Marco Bezzecchi.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
he's in this championship to win a championship.
I think for a fresh start, I think there's been more of a chance of him winning a world championship without Ferrari.
Yeah. He's just an interesting dude because he just always seems to be there or thereabouts, but never just grabbing it. Like, Lando Norris at the moment is like more chance of grabbing this championship by the horns than he ever has.
But Leclerc's never had the fastest car either, ever. Ferrari has never been the fastest car in his career.
Does he deserve to be in a better car then? There you go.
Who knows? I just don't know.
It's interesting.
The next year's rules and what we're hearing is these cars are going to be slow, super slow. They're talking the F2 cars are going to be faster than the F1 cars.
That's never going to happen. Come on.
Well, there's going to be years of development. The GP2 cars were faster than a McLaren F1 car hybrid when they first hybrid came out.
Oh, yeah. That McLaren was a dog.
But who knows? I just don't know. Like, it's going to be an engine formula for the next couple of years. Who normally dominates an engine formula?
The Mercedes.
So...
The Germans.
I don't see Red Bull doing anything with a Ford motor because Ford have had no history.
I heard they're using a Fiesta motor.
Yeah, a little 1 liter EcoBoost.
Talking about boost.
Pulling that out of me, huh?
That was good. You must have traded one of them in not long ago.
No, they're dog shit, those little cars. Worst things ever.
Oh, really?
Worst gearboxes in the world. Ford Focuses and their worst gearboxes.
What about the Puma? The Ford Puma.
They're terrible cars. Terrible cars. You haven't got one, have you, Kurt? No, Kurt hasn't got a car yet. I'm trying to get him a car. But great chat, though. Like,
know, that was my first note I wrote down. I saw Charles, and I thought, I don't know with this guy. I rate him so highly, and we always go back to when he was in Sauber. 7-7-7-7-7.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. Maybe he needs to spread his wings a bit and go, this Ferrari just ain't it. It's cool to drive for Ferrari. It's the coolest car to drive for.
Mm.
But do you want to be a world champion? And I'm not saying like Ferrari's got the capabilities of doing that, but is in his career, is he going to have that point, that opportunity in Ferrari to do that? And I can't see that yet.
Well, yeah.
And if they botch these new regs, bro, it's an uphill
battle.
Which is every possibility. Has Ferrari in history ever been like, you know, McLaren's been down the back, like they were nowhere for years. Has Ferrari ever really been down the back? Maybe they've been mid-pack.
Some horror years. No, they had some horror years in the 80s. In the 80s, they had some real, when McLaren was dominating. They got better in the late 80s when Prost, or maybe more even 90s when Prost came. Yeah. But no, they had some terrible years. Definitely not the slowest car, but back then they had all these privateer teams. And but then again, when Schumacher went to Ferrari in 96, the Ferrari wasn't a very good car at all. His dream was to bring Ferrari back up to the fold, and it took people don't understand this. He went to Ferrari in 96. He didn't win a championship until 2000. Mm. It took a lot longer than what people think. People think he won two at Benetton and then went straight to the Ferrari, won five in a row, and then boom, you know, career done. But it wasn't like that. A lot of hard years. A lot of hard years.
That's the difference.
A lot of hard
different
years.
Different times as well.
100% different times. Let's follow on with that. Hamilton. A really interesting weekend. He came out in the media after the race and pretty much said the whole car needs a brain transplant. That was his words. I'm not paraphrasing here, James, your favorite little term. Very negative. It's about to implode. It is. And I've called this for years.
You called this
a year and a half
when
ago.
You called
signed,
this
when he signed.
As he was signing it, if you actually look back in the footage, you're there in Monza over his shoulder pointing, it's going to implode.
Well, look, Hamilton's comments after the race suggested he doesn't have confidence in the team, doesn't have confidence in the car. And yeah, I just don't know how much longer it can go. I really think it's much worse than what we're hearing and seeing on the TV internally.
What's he normally averaging finishing? Like 6th, 7th?
Yeah, but it's not good enough. Like, he got out-qualified by Albon on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, like he's not... Like, yes, he had that one sprint race in Shanghai. He fluked the qualifying and then he came out and won the race because no one could follow. Yes, understandable. But he has not shown anything in any of the races to tell me that, God, this guy is going to win a race this year.
Mm.
A main race.
Well, Charles has had his number.
It proved on the weekend. Hamilton had fresh air in a lot of that race. He got past Albon in the first corner and just did nothing in the whole race. And also, Mercedes, great race pace through the practice sessions and just were so underwhelming in the race. It's just a really interesting thing. The only one that really performed was Lando coming through the field and Leclerc.
So I think I want to touch on Antonelli because I think he's doing a stellar job for his first year.
Yep.
But going back to Hamilton, how do you see the rest of the year playing out then, Mr. Tom Chavulo?
Again, I just see, yeah, he might have an odd podium or when it rains or something like that. But you're Ferrari. You're paying him, call it $100 million a year. Fuck. You're expecting this guy. Yes, I know it was a commercial decision as well as a results decision. They've sold, the stock went up tenfold, so they've made their money back already. I get all that. But for
me, it's
not
about that though.
It's not. It's about winning. It's about winning a championship. And they've come out and they're paying this guy more than what they're paying Charles. And Charles outperforming him, which we all thought was going to happen anyway. Well, I thought anyway. Mm. And why is he taking up a spot now where they could put a young gun in that they're from their Ferrari program? Where, you know.
Yeah, it's a hard one because you're going to sign Hamilton though, but he just obviously hasn't gelled with the car and maybe more importantly hasn't gelled with the team. Like, as you said, I would like to know what the inner sanctum of that team's like.
Well, I'm really surprised. Like him and his race engineer, from the couch, doesn't seem they seem eye to eye. I'm really surprised that they wouldn't have thrown the kitchen sink at getting Bono over from Mercedes as well. I don't know if he didn't want to sort of have that. I think you probably have to move to Maranello to work for the Ferrari. I think that's something that Adrian knew he didn't want to do.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just, yeah, it doesn't seem to be gelling. There's no confidence there coming back from Team Radio. And look, I might be speaking out of school here where I don't know the inner symptoms. Like,
yeah.
But from an onlooker and hearing things and seeing him in the media, it just tells me a lot.
Yeah, it's Ferrari's just kind of treading water. That's all they're doing is treading water. It's not like the...
It's a big one of the big... It's the biggest, you know, it's the biggest team. So.
But they've been treading water, I think, for a long time. They haven't really had a real crack in it. No. Obviously, they just haven't got...
Well, they haven't had a chance. They haven't had a chance. They haven't had the car. They haven't had the car to... You know, they haven't had a top, probably the top two car since Vettel and Hamilton had that battle in, you know, in the 2019 sort of time frame. So that's the last time that Ferrari's been anywhere near fighting for a world championship, in my opinion.
What's his contract? 2 years?
2 years. Yeah. So he'll see out the new. I think he'll see out the new regs.
Yeah, you think so?
And then he'll 100%. He'll have to. I mean, he'll have to. If he hasn't, he's not going to perform. Then he's going to make way, I suppose. So,
bro. On the other end, Lance Stroll. We've talked about Formula One and how there's no paid drivers in there anymore, but there is. It's still him. Bro, he came out and had a shot at everyone saying that he's, you know, about he's now the new leader of Q1 exits.
Yes, yeah. 75 Q1 exits, the most out of any driver in the history.
He just doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
He's really underwhelming, like more so than what he should be.
So news out of Aston Martin, from all reports, the Saudi Arabian, their money fund.
Conspiracy.
No. Facts. Saudi Arabian fund has purchased a stake in Aston Martin for an X amount of money.
Oh,
and they're going to offer, or already offered, Max Verstappen $264 million over the next 3 years.
And they boot Stroll.
Yeah. Honestly. Well, yeah, you'd think so. I mean, Alonso's got one more year on his contract.
That'd be a mint team, though. Alonso Verstappen.
And I mean, Alonso is going to be turning 43, I think. So
it's like prime Rossi teaming up with Mick Doohan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is a similar comparison. Money talks. Who knows? That's the rumor that's going around, that's swirling around the media at the moment. Lawrence Stroll. Then would obviously not... He'd still have a stake in the team, but I'm not sure about a majority stake. Well, then he have the ability to go, well, my son's racing. Who knows? I mean, again, this is all just, you know, pillow talk.
Conjecture. But Newey... We're not that close. Adrian Newey can't just sign for this team with Lance Stroll as one of their drivers. Like, he doesn't seem like that type of guy.
But I think...
There has to be something in the background that we don't know.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something that goes on. Look, he's shown... And look, to be honest with you, Stroll's 10th in the championship has scored all of Aston Martin's points this year. So you've been a bit harsh on him. Alonso hasn't scored a point yet.
Yeah, but I like Alonso.
Alonso's proven. But yeah, I mean, we know he's just... Yeah, I mean, look, to be honest with you, there's a few real disappointments. Jack Doohan for me.
Yeah.
I want to commend him at the start. He came out in practice one and actually had a very good session. Scary track, close walls. If he bins it, he's done. We all know that. He's one crash away from a serious conversation. So for him to come out, practice one... I think he was up there probably the top 15, 14. But, you know, if he was a second off the pace, I would understand that as well.
Mm.
And the rookies going to that track, it must be a terrifying scenario. But for him, he really impressed me, but had a really rough race. He came out and pitted early. And when the safety car came out, P1, put the hards on and then just sort of faded and then no pace in the end. And I think he finished, ended up finishing
16th or something, wasn't it? 17th?
He came through the field, I think, and passed Bortoleto, which he was about 20 seconds behind him with I think, about 12 laps to go. So, that was a good feat. But then, couldn't pass Stroll. So, I don't know what the gap was. It just says one lap on my little sheet here. So, but yeah, disappointing race for him in the end. Showed some promise. But, yeah, it's... If he doesn't perform, it's... we know what's going to happen. So...
Formula One has to be one of the most, the most...
Volatile?
Yeah, like volatile, pressure-heavy sports in the world because there's three other, like, okay, you play for Real Madrid, like, at least there's a team around you. So, but you're so, like, on the radar, like, there's so much pressure on you. There's so many eyeballs on you. If you don't perform... In two rounds, like Lawson, you're already booted. Like it must be one of the most high-pressure sports in the world.
It's so interesting watching some of the races and you've got a guy under pressure like Jack Doohan and then you have the test driver in the team watching with the headphones on and then he crashes, and then they're just standing there thinking, fuck yeah, he's crashed. I'm going to get in the car. But he can't act like that. He's got to act like,
it's,
you know.
It's like having an argument with your missus, and your missus' guy friend is in the corner waiting. He's like, oh yeah, I'm about to slide into it. It's exactly the same thing.
But he, I don't know, like he's also your mate, so you have to like act cool. Because you also have to act cool. It's the strangest scenario because everybody knows that guy is so happy that Jack Dewitt just went flying into the barrier, turn one at Suzuka.
Yeah.
But he's got to watch it like this. Oh no, it's terrible. Oh God. Where's the keys? Yeah. Where's the keys? You know, like
100%.
It's
the fascinating situation.
Fascinating. But I mean, a lot of sports are like that. I'm sure like soccer, you've got your guys on the bench and then you see someone get injured. I mean, it's sad that he's got injured, but you're thinking, oh fuck, I'm going to be starting for the next 10 rounds.
Injured is different to performance.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. It's just...
I remember I played cricket when I was younger.
How are you going to bring this one back?
And I was playing with my teammate, and we opened the batting, and I was winning the batting average for the Diamond Valley. He was second, and I went out like third ball. Like, oh no, it's the last game of the season. If he scored like 30, he would have won.
Yeah.
It was like he hit 21, and he nicks it. Catch and all the boys turned to me. He goes, oh no, you won it. I go, oh, bugger. So it was bad for the team. He went out. Bad for the team, but. You know, glory. Of course, you got to always, number one, numero uno is yourself. Always, everywhere, every time. And yes, you can play the team game, of course. Team's going to win your races, win your championship. But at the end of the day, who pays your bills? Who pays, you know, it's your livelihood at the end of the day. So it's your career, it's your life.
Greensboro Cricket Club, mate. That's paint.
North Health and Wanderers. Shout out, North Health and Wanderers. Under 14s, probably. No, I actually won the batting and bowling average for the Diamond Valley.
What are you doing here? Should be playing for Australia, bagging
green. Yeah, I chose a different path, unfortunately. But anyway, now back to Saudi Arabia. Cool track, eh? You like it?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind
scenery wise. It's pretty amazing.
Spectacular when you first watch it.
So I'll give you a little tip. They're actually building a second racetrack. Okay,
why and it's gonna not surprise,
and it's gonna have like a it's gonna be like not a figure eight, I don't think, but it's gonna go up like over like go like it's like gonna be a big bridge and comes back around, and they were saying, oh, everyone's like, oh no, you know, this track jet is gonna be replaced, and they're like, no, we're having two tracks because they got so much money. They're like, no, we want two. So they want two Grand Prix coming up in the next few years.
Well, they got to wash all their money.
I know, it's unbelievable.
They've got to wash it through sport washing.
They got the FIFA World Cup coming. They're gonna have two Formula One races a year. Like, it is just incredible the amount of money that is just thrown through this country. I mean, it is, and look, it's probably nothing to them. It's probably peanuts. Like watching Joe Rogan, they're talking about there's probably trillionaires in this country. Can't calculate how much money these guys actually have.
They don't disclose it.
There could be a trillionaire that lives in Saudi. We don't know. Like, just don't know the amount of money that
some prince.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this new track is going to be just as spectacular and just as unbelievable, and all the lights and everything. But
it is amazing, and you got to appreciate it. And it is a cool aspect of F1 is, you know, you can go to a racetrack like a Suzuka, a Spa, where it's old school, but it is still cool to go to like a Jeddah.
Yeah.
You know.
And I was super excited for that race because I know how close those walls are. I know how fast that those cars are. And shout out to Martin Brundle, said this on the coverage. He goes, there's no other racetrack in the world where an onboard is so impressive than that track.
Mm.
That first good sector. Quote. That first sector is just play it on the game.
Mm.
So I say play it on the game, and you'll be like, "What the actual? How do they do this?" It is just crazy. So
it's funny because you look at the track map, and it just looks like big straight lines,
dude. Everyone thinks that first sector is all flat. It's nowhere near flat. Like, there's lots of lifts, and look, they'll take some corners flat in qualifying, but not flat in the race. And like, you looked at Lando in the crash in qualifying, and just go like that.
Yeah,
it's
can't handle the heat.
Couldn't handle it. Yeah, the backside of the track is all pretty much just straight. But even like that is, it's good racing in the end. There is a chance to pass. We never really saw that in the top five over the race. But I mean, there's been some classics in the past, especially 2021. That was just an unbelievable race when Verstappen brake checked Hamilton allegedly, and then yeah, it was crazy. So
it's good. Nah, you gotta have both types of tracks.
Yeah.
I was laughing to myself watching the, and I wonder if you noticed this, but I was watching the telecast.
Oh no, this is my next note. Go on.
The audio?
Yes.
I couldn't hear the commentary over the cast.
Yeah, so
I didn't know if that was just my shitty TV.
No. Don't want to be a Karen again. Don't want to be a Karen. All right.
Paraphrase
what's,
for me.
What's Karen? What's the male version? Kevin?
Kevin? I don't know.
Yeah, telecast issues again. Cars were so loud all through the race weekend. So it happened in practice, happened in qualifying.
Surely they would have picked up on that.
Because I got the TV up at like 20. Like this is at 6 o'clock in the morning. I got it up like 26:30. Like... And all I hear is, and then Brundle's talking. I can't hear him. They've got team, it was an issue. And I believe that there's one microphone for the telecast. I think it was in Saudi Arabia, it's on the front straight. So every time the cars went past on the front straight, you couldn't hear
I don't know about that, because I remember them coming out of a corner and I couldn't hear them.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's from what I believe, I believe there's only one microphone that it takes it from. So maybe, I don't know if it was coming down to turn one and then pulling away from turn two.
Maybe.
Because in Coda, the microphone's on top of that tower they have there.
Really?
And a guy actually went around and went new, 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 a few years ago. It was on the telecast. And it was a funny moment. Again, check that out on YouTube. But
that got Curdy's attention.
He's like, there's one microphone that the telecast gets the audio from.
Okay, so maybe, yeah.
In MotoGP, different, because they've got the headsets on and they've got, I can hear someone in the gravel trap.
Yeah.
So, but in Formula One, it's not, I don't think it's like that. But guys, if I'm wrong, please correct me in the comments. Jimmy, let's talk protection, because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness. And look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NemiumRepublica for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast.
It was just annoying.
So annoying. And like you think of the fix it after the first, like the practice session.
What's going on with F1?
I know, it was all over Twitter.
Oh,
so,
was there?
Yeah. Comments. It wasn't just us. So it was obviously the Sky feed, the world feed is what they get. So it would have affected, I'm sure, everyone, but...
Yeah.
Weird.
It's just weird that I don't fix that.
It's so weird. And like you think, like again, we talked about this last week. One of the biggest sports in the world, a lot of viewers every week they get, and it's just a simple thing. Just turn the microphone. Just turn it down.
Talking about this leads me to my next note for you. You talk about Formula One being one of the biggest sports in the world. I went for a run today, past your house,
yeah,
Diamond Creek. Guess how many Formula One shirts I saw?
Oh, none.
Probably at least 10.
What?
10.
People wearing F1 merch.
Yeah, all Red Bull, all McLaren. And there was one family where all the kids were wearing either Red Bull or McLaren, and then just separate other people.
Jeez.
I was in shock.
That's crazy. Because for me... If McLaren win on a Sunday, and am I rocking a McLaren t-shirt on a Monday now? Is that a thing?
Clearly.
Wow.
And then when I was driving home, I saw another McLaren shirt, a guy walking his dog.
I think it has to be the Australian factor, Piastri winning. Has to be.
Definitely. But there were still Red Bull shirts.
Yeah, that's I can't explain that. That's like a protest for
and
the penalty.
And brand new Red Bull shirts.
Yeah, like the new spec ones.
Brand new spec. And kids. Kids is a big one for me because like they're jumping on
the train.
How
many footy jerseys did you see?
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking and there was zero. But in Australia, you don't wear a footy jersey out. It's gay like as fuck. You get bashed doing that.
It's not as like, it's not a, you see more basketball jerseys than footy jerseys.
Yeah. And like people don't even,
it's a bit autistic basketball thing to see someone wearing a like AFL jersey.
Super autistic. Yeah. No one does it. It's super autistic. Nah. You wear like a scarf to the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't wear a jersey anymore, but yeah. I would when I was a kid. But
yeah, it's acceptable if you're a kid.
Yeah. Or I'd wear a long sleeve jumper with a jersey over the top. That's the only thing I could get away with.
Now?
Yeah.
No, you couldn't.
No, I couldn't now. I'm saying back then when I was like, you know, probably 10 years ago. Not a kid, but 18, 19, ooh, I would wear that.
Nah. I went yeah. Like, okay, yeah. But you shouldn't do it.
No, not now. Like, Jesus.
Get you into like a tight footy jersey.
Okay, so James, I want to talk to you about this. First driver not to win from pole this year.
Yeah, right.
Good stat that. Yeah. Another good stat for you. This is my little Tom stat man. Lando's career wins. 5. Oscar Piastri's career wins.
4.
5.
Really?
82 less Grand Prix Oscar's done. So, is it time? Is it... I still can't believe he's championship leader. But, you know, proof's in the pudding now. He's, you know, he's 10 points ahead with...
Three race wins.
Lots of racing to go, guys. We've got 19 more races of the year. Anything can happen. 4 more sprint races. So much stuff can happen. But... he is seriously the closest in 45 years for us to win a world championship.
He's looking pretty good.
Mark Webber had a shot in 2010, but he led the championship at some points in the season, but we always knew that Vettel was going to come back fighting, and he did. But this is a real chance this year. I can't believe it. It's really, I picked it from the start, obviously, on crystal ball, but for me, it's still amazing. And it's still amazing for the sport here in this country. You don't need any more people watching it. Like,
it's crazy that we're doing this pod. And then it's such a Republican effect.
It's standard.
And then we've got an Aussie from Bratton.
Yeah, from Bratton. Yeah. 20 kilometers away.
Not even. Leading the world, the Formula One at the biggest Formula One's ever been in a massive brand.
Yeah, I know.
It's just incredible to watch, and obviously we're gonna have Aussie bias. We're always gonna have.
But
Aussie
you know
bias.
What? We are, and a lot of people goes, "Oh, how good was the small?" Like even my mum rang me. Oh God, you'd be happy with the result. I'm like, yeah, I'm happy with the result, but like, you know, I'd still love to see Max win.
Yeah, like I love Max, but I definitely have Aussie bias.
Yeah. And look, for me, it's like I'll never forget that 2021 season with Max. It's like going to live in folklore in my head and my heart. So I'm always going to have a soft spot. But yeah, for an Australian leading the world championship in we just outperform the world in sport. And
the Aussie sporting culture is. Yeah.
We had a whole segment on this. We had a whole Patreon, didn't we? Or start of the year, we had an Australian in motorsport. We did in January. Remember. Yeah, we had the Australian flags everywhere.
Oh yeah, was that a Patreon?
It was an episode we did that because there was no F1 or MotoGP.
But like, it's true, you know. You look at the amount of MotoGP champions we've had.
Yeah,
we've got Piastri up there, could be a world champion. I don't want to moz him. We still had Webber up there, who's the Aussie F1 world champion.
Alan Jones, Jack Brabham back in the day. We've only had two, so.
But it's just, and that's just in motorsport.
We've actually probably underperformed in Formula One, to be honest with you, but because we've only had two world champions. But in all seriousness, it is to be an Australian in motor racing, especially, is so hard to get to the top level because you don't have that junior pathway like you do in Europe. So, and we've spoken about this countless times. Yeah.
Superbikes have done so well, and then in other sports we're always up there in the Olympics. We've just got a sporting culture. We're very, for listeners from like other countries,
Ohio, North Carolina, DC,
England. We've got a lot of English listeners. Yeah. We do have a very big sporting culture.
Yeah we do. And
it's
look, it's
ingrained in us from a young age.
And like, you look at countries that don't, like you look at India, cricket, but you look at their Olympics, like they've got a billion people, you know. They're the biggest population in the world. Nowhere, because they just don't have that as a culture growing up with kids and stuff. So it's different. It is different in different countries.
Then you look at the Americans, they've got so much money they can put at it. The Chinese just do it for communist reasons.
Yeah, CCP.
they're like, you're born, you're a gymnast.
Yeah.
You're born, you're in water polo.
I don't want to do that. I don't care. You got the body for it. You're doing it. Yeah. And you're locked in the cage.
Where for us, it's just, I don't know, like it's just always comes from humble beginnings. Don't you reckon? With Aussies?
Oh, and we're proud. We're proud to be Australian. I mean, this country is in a... I don't know which direction we're going in, but hopefully it's going to get better over the next few years. So
it's still good, man. Still great. I love being Australian.
Yeah,
and I love seeing an Aussie up there in any sport. We always get behind it, but like we smash it in like most... so many different motorsports. It's actually ridiculous. For the population we have, 28 mil... Like little Jet Lawrence went undefeated. Oh, brother's amazing.
Yeah.
Like
we've talked about it countless times.
It's, it's just it's crazy. Yeah. It's just cool. We like to see it. We love to see it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, as I said, that's going to be the big thing with going into the next race in Miami in 2 weeks' time. Again, another sort of awkward street circuit. I'm going to call it.
It is an awkward
because a lot of 90 degrees.
Blind corners.
Again, race to the first corner. We didn't see that last year. We saw Lando getting his first win, but again, got help out from the safety car, which can happen in these street tracks. So,
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
What a GP, mate. Jerez coming up.
Back to the motherland.
Oh, thank God we're in Europe again. I can't handle any more early wake-ups.
So, Jerez this weekend. Yeah. I am so excited. That is so exciting.
It's my favorite Grand Prix of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely getting like that for me as well. And look, these tracks that we've been to, we've had such a interesting result with some rookies going well, like, you know, your Ayagura, you've got your Marquez smashing it. But this is where the cream rises, as we always say. We're going to trademark that.
Yeah.
Can Bagnaia fight back? That's going to be the big thing. Can he fight back? Can he get a win? Can he put a statement this weekend?
Yeah, well, that's the question. You know, Marquez, it was only his fourth ride, whatever, it was on a Ducati, and almost could have, should have won that race last year.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
his track.
Jesus. He did too. Shit. There was four races into his Grassini.
On an old Ducati.
And that 24 bike was that much better than 23.
So, I for me, I've got him on 1-1-1.
Yeah.
Same. Like our podcast episode, 1-1-1.
Yeah.
There's a bit of... there's a little bit of hey going.
Damn, I wish it was one more. Imagine if he went 1-1-1 next week, but it was. But anyway, so he might go 1-1 and then 2.
Imagine. Well, you might. You never know. But like, it's just going to be a huge round. It's going to be so interesting to see because all these riders know this track so well.
Yes.
It's going to be so interesting to see how like your Alex Marquez's go, your Furman's go. I'm really excited to see how those two go. Obviously, we know Mark's going to be up there. We know Pecco's going to be up there. Bagnaia really needs to sort out his Saturdays though.
Yeah, he does.
And this is you just can't if Marquez is he's put it on pole every race, he's won every sprint race and should have won every main race. If you're gonna compete, you've got to be on that front row.
100%. And it's more important than ever now with these wide bikes, with his aero, tire overheating, tire pressure. He needs to do it. He needs to come out firing in FP1.
Yeah. Well, he's never normally like that, and that's fine. But he needs to put in that lap when he needs to put in that lap. He can't
Which he is good at. But then he crashed the last qualifying session and he just scrapes
it. Coda, he was starting sixth.
He's been scraping in to Q1 as well. That's the other thing. Like I think he was 10th last race. So go practice qualifying. So yeah.
Anyway, we've called it because Guitar was the barometer. But Jerez is just going to be so interesting. And it's going to be really interesting for that mid-pack battle. How's the VR46 boys going to go? Like the mid-pack battle is awesome in MotoGP.
And you know what I'm excited for? Moto2 and Moto3.
Yeah.
Because that's for me is, you know, your Lopez is going to come back. Is your Tony Arbolino going to come back and show something?
Yeah, great call.
You know, we've had Jake Dixon win two races. We've had the Impact GP boys go really well in Thailand. Dominated that weekend. So we've had some interesting results in these. And as we touched on last week, that 11th to 20th, there is 10 guys in there that can win a race.
That's crazy.
So that's the really interesting for me. Joel Kelso coming back to Spain, a track that he knows, but also all those little Spanish teenagers have spent their whole life on. They were
basically birthed on that track.
So can he perform? He performs at that track in the front pack. That'd be a good thing for him as well. Ralston coming back from injury, looking stronger. So yeah, it's all and obviously I don't know if that new fella
Quiles,
he had the injury we got told from a training accident. Yeah, thanks standard. For correcting us last week. Appreciate that, whoever that was. But is he back? Who knows? We'll wait and see.
It's just you know what the thing about Jerez is? Jerez always has a moment. Every year there's a moment.
Second
in that
corner
track.
Crash. You know, wipe out three bikes.
What do we call that last corner?
Oh, I've been very inviting.
It's like It's like it's a good-looking woman just inviting you into your home. Yeah. You can't say no.
No.
You can't. You can't say no.
But it's such an unusual hairpin. Because it comes in from an angle and then straightens at the exit. Yeah. So there is that wide entry point you can do. And it's also, you probably don't hug the apex in the corner anyway. So you're always leaving that little bit of a gap.
Yeah. It's a block passer's wet dream, that last corner.
It is. And we've seen so many classic moments over the years. Marquez on Lorenzo at Lorenzo Corner.
Oh, it's Lorenzo Corner now, isn't it? No one still calls it that. Poor cheeseburger. They should call it cheeseburger corner and then they'll catch on.
Cheeseburger.
We'll put a petition for that, I reckon.
Cheesy. Yeah. The guy's like so skinny as well. He's lost his weight.
Blew up a little bit. You know, we know when cheeseburger, and this is, I'm telling you, this is a true story. This is, I know. Well, Lorenzo's reposted this. But I know Cheeseburger was catching on because we kept saying Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger. He was up in our conversations a lot. Yeah. We need to bring him back, actually. I miss Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
That he kept putting up gym selfies.
Yeah.
He kept putting up bicep curls, shirtless in the mirror.
You never seen that? Before the comments?
Never seen that before the comments.
We've actually got him fit.
It's
unbelievable.
It's actually unbelievable. Yeah. But then the cheeseburger thing, we kind of stopped, you know, off season, whatever. Yep. He's back on the eating cheeseburgers and fries again. Put weight back on.
He'll be watching. Cheesy.
He might be there. He should be there. Cerez. Yeah. It's his corner. Yeah. Of course he's going to be there.
You'd have to think so. You'd have to think all the Spanish ex-riders will make the effort to come out. Because I think it's always good seeing them in the back of the paddock.
Yeah. And he does a bit of commentary here and there. He's got his earpiece. It's got the number one molded into it. That's cheeseburger style, isn't it? I'm not even joking.
And you know what? So I arrogant. My own eyes. So arrogant 10 years ago. So cool now.
I love him. Oh, man. Our OG listeners will know this, but like, I hated Lorenzo. Yeah. And then I love him. I love him now. Yeah. It's like classic JBL effect in the WWE.
JBL.
You hated the heels, but now you look back at him like, oh, man, I love all that.
Yeah. Carlito.
I spit in the face if I don't think you're cool.
You know, I was the other day, it was from West Constant, Mr. Kennedy. I hated him as well. Appreciate him now, but Mr. Kennedy.
Well, WrestleMania's on this weekend.
So correlation between wrestling and motorsport. I don't know how it got there, but there's some sort of correlation.
We've built the bridge somehow. We've built the Phillip Island bridge on that one.
That's it. But yeah, as I said, touched on at the start of the pod, Martin out of hospital from all reports.
Oh, yeah.
Couple of days in Qatar, which would be boring as hell for
him. He's got like a colostomy bag or something. Bro, he's holding onto with blood and everything.
He's got fucking up. A punctured lung. And as Curdy touched on last week, 11 broken ribs or 8 broken ribs, 3, I don't know, fractures. But yeah, I mean, that's... And as you know, I've told it a few times, I've broken ribs before and I couldn't breathe properly. I couldn't sneeze for like a month afterwards. I don't know how he's going to get back on a bike. I think 3 months out they're talking. So that's the report. So just wipe this off this year. Martin, wipe him off. He's not going to win a race.
Yeah,
he's done. He might come and perform halfway through the season, but he's to get the confidence back on the bike after all these other riders have come and been on the bike for half a year, he's not going to have a chance. So
just a worst case scenario was Qatar.
Well, I didn't realize Digia actually hit him.
Yeah.
And we didn't actually talk about that in the pod last week, did we, Kurt?
The coverage never brought it up either, though.
And it's obviously that's what, like, the, don't want to say that, like, sort of similar to a Simoncelli style.
Well, Paolo
incident.
Came out and talked about it. Yeah. Paolo Simoncelli was like, it was so close for ending in disaster.
Yeah. And then because I thought it was him bouncing off those ripple strips or what we spoke about, but I think that was just the cherry on top, I suppose, so. As they say.
Not type of good cherry, though.
No. We pop something, but not that. So, yeah.
He's collapsed the lung. So, like, I feel like I feel absolutely terrible for him. My heart goes out to him. And it's good to see a lot of the whole MotoGP paddock reaching out to him as well.
Oh, everyone commented. Everyone reshared. Put those. And it is nice. I mean, we joke about that all the time, that they don't hate each other as much as they should. But at the end of the day, that guy's had such bad luck this year. So...
Marco Bezzecchi, basically all of Aprilia is on him.
We love Saba, but he's there. He's the token test rider. He's not going to do much. He's going to finish last. So, yeah.
It's on Bez.
And I don't think I'd pick Bez as my sole hope this year.
He's the one, mate. He's the one that's going to do the job now. What's a pass mark for Bez in the championship for you?
I don't even know. I think seventh.
Seventh. That's I think that's lenient. The thing is,
got to remember the six Ducatis on this grid. Everyone like Fermín Aldeguer is finishing fifth. And we've got, because he's on a Ducati. Alex Marquez has finished second in every race because he's on a Ducati. Alex Marquez would not be finishing second if he was on a Aprilia. I'll tell you that for free. So,
but you think...
But now you got Aldeguer up there now. Like,
hey, Curdy, are you able to get the MotoGP points up for us? Is that all right? Current points. So you think this year that the top six riders in the championship are going to be all Ducatis?
No, not necessarily, but...
So someone has to break the mold.
Someone has to break the mold. Is he the top?
But should it be him?
Well, possibly.
That's what I'm saying. Go on, Curdy. Yeah.
Okay. So currently, Marc Marquez at 123. Alex Marquez at 106. Pecco Bagnaia, 97. Morbidelli, 78. Didier is at 48. Mm-hmm. Zarco's at 38.
Okay, so six is Honda. So you're saying that... It's a pass for, let's just say, Bezzecchi to be seventh.
Bezzecchi is placed seventh.
Behind the Honda.
Behind the Honda.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a fail. Yeah. I think a pass for me is a top five. And I don't think that's being ludicrous.
Well, obviously the VR boys are going to finish in front of him by the looks of things.
But
because I think Digi's not even that conversation, is he?
Yeah, he was...
He is?
Fifth, yeah, more fourth or fifth.
Fifth.
Yeah, okay. And then
behind
you got
Morbidelli.
Behind Morbidelli. And then you got Zarco, who...
Zarco's at 38
points. Okay, the other thing is what you're alluding to is he shouldn't be finishing behind a Honda. No way. But I'm thinking Quartararo has to come up at this point in time. Should Quartararo be beating Bez?
He's only 2 points behind Bez.
There you go.
Quartararo.
There you go.
And that Yamaha is a pile of poop.
I think it's a testament that there's been at least some improvements with those two brands of bikes.
Wait, what brands?
Hondas and Yamahas. Oh,
Honda, amazing. Yamaha, we thought, and frauded me. I got frauded hard. Put a fraud watch stamp on me. Because I don't think they're doing much. And I still think Quartararo is riding the wheels off that. But anyway, we're getting off topic. What my thing is Bez, is I think he should... I don't think it's ludicrous that... A top five is just a pass. Mm. I think a top five is a pass because in a factory Aprilia rider in Marco Bezzecchi's capabilities should be beating a Morbidelli on a year-old Ducati. That's all I'm saying.
No, I don't think so. I think the Ducati is that much better than all these bikes, 100%.
I think the Aprilia is a very good bike.
I don't know. I think the verdict's out on that, James. We have to wait until see Martin feedback on this
and spot. Remember, we're in MotoGP. They can ride around issues.
Yeah, but we know...
Zarco is the ultimate example.
But we all know Bez isn't that good. He's not that good.
Well, I think he is.
No.
I think he should be a top five.
Nah, he's not that good. He's not that good. He's a second-rate rider now. He's not as good as he was back when his first year he was on that bike. He's lost confidence. He's lost something, but he can't ride around anything.
Well, last year, Bez finished 12th.
He was nowhere on the Ducati.
On the Ducati.
Yeah, he's fucking nowhere. Well, there you go. That's proof of the pudding.
Got an improvement already, which is good. Mm. Also, to put in perspective how we've got a Honda
finished 12th on the Ducati last year. It's so bad. so bad.
The closest Japanese bike last year was Fabio Quartararo, and that was in 13th.
Yeah, okay. At the end of the year. At least you finished in front of them. Who was 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th last year, Curdy?
Vinales on the Aprilia. Mm. Alex Marquez on the Ducati. Franco Morbidelli on the Ducati. Mm. And then 10th was Digia.
So, Bez...
They've all come up, pretty
Bez
much.
Bez is all equal is equal to Maverick Vinales. So, who's better, Mav or Bez?
And the thing is...
Bez is probably better. But who knows? Like, bro, they got to remember this. How good was Vinales going?
Yeah.
But
what I'm just saying is he's on a factory Aprilia. I think a factory Aprilia, you should be expected to be top five in the title. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. Mm. And I feel like for some reason the world is against me on this.
Well, I think
am I the problem?
No, I think you think the Aprilia is better than what it is.
I think they've got the resources and I think that bike is a top five bike. I don't think it goes top five Ducatis, then Aprilia, then Honda, then KTM, then Yamaha, let's just say. I think there's a place...
You're against the second best bike on the grid.
Easily the second best place bike. It's easily the second best bike on the grid.
It is the dark horse on the grid. That's what I'd recommend the Aprilia is.
Yeah. Mm. So that Aprilia should be a top five. It should be top five of Jorge Martin. And realistically, like it's fifth is a hard. That's a very hard position because we know how many good riders and there's Ducatis there. But if you want to be on a factory Aprilia, I think you should be a top five. And I don't think that's so crazy. I really don't.
No. I think if you're on a factory Aprilia, yes, you should be top five. But I don't think Bez is a capable rider.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. I completely agree. But what I'm saying is that's his part. That should be his pass mark.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And you're right. You're right. Yeah. It should be his pass mark. Yeah, but
I'm not saying
the level he went last year and this year. Like if he finished seventh, I'd be like, oh, he had an okay year for me. But
yeah. Yeah.
He needs these. But Bastianini should be on that bike, and you know I don't rate Bastianini.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just an interesting, very, very...
He finished 12th on a fucking Ducati, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
So then he gets put on an Aprilia. Well,
Alex Marquez was 7th.
Yeah. So
same bike.
Yeah. And Alex Marquez didn't do much last year either.
Yeah, he's up and down.
So, yeah. I mean, the verdict's out on him. The verdict's out on him.
Hard, the verdict is out on him.
Yeah.
That's why he's our new fraud watch for the year.
He is.
Because he should be doing more.
I had him for fucking P1 for Thailand. I thought he was going to bounce back, but he's done absolutely nothing.
You told him that and he gave you absolutely nothing as well.
Yeah, I should have said bobbity boobity first, please. But I do see where you're coming from. It's, I don't know. And look, we get a lot of hate in the comments because they're like, oh, we always talk about Aprilia being so good, but everyone says it's fucking not that good and the Ducatis are so much better. If Aldeguer keeps performing like he did, he'll probably beat Bez to the championship now. And that's your sixth place.
Yeah, like, and I can see that happening as well. Yeah. I can definitely see that.
I
happening.
See where you're coming from. The pass mark should be fifth, but I think he'll finish seventh plus.
Bro, I agree exactly with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I agree exactly with what you're saying. And it's just a shame with Jorge Martin because he's obviously the man.
I know. I just want to see what this bike can do. This is the frustrating part.
We're not
going
to see it.
Yeah.
You know, Iguro got fourth for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you're right. That's the outlier this year. He's him. And let's see what he can do this weekend. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. So there's so much. There's in MotoGP, there is so many different stories in that paddock. With all these different riders from all these different teams.
And we had that, remember our show, our MotoGP show that we're talking about, like there's just so many stories this year.
Yeah.
Like there's so many riders going to different places. There's like the whole kaboom of KDM happening, but then Vinales now performing last week from apparently he was on a different spec bike to the rest of them as well.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for that point of view.
The mid-pack battle is exciting. Like we don't know, like anywhere from, let's say, fourth down, good luck picking 4th to 10 every week. That's harder than picking the podium.
Yeah.
Because I am not sold on Morbidelli being up there every week. I'm really not.
Oh, I don't know. I think he's doing really well.
And I'm not saying up there. I'm saying a bad result now for him is like a 7th.
Mm.
Yeah. So 4th to 10th. Like I don't think Morbidelli is now going to do like a 13th. I think that bike is too good. Mm. And he's obviously found his mojo on it.
Yeah.
But like a 7th. I'll be like, oh, that's not a great weekend for Morb, where he could be podium, he could be fourth, he could be fifth.
The worst thing for Bagnaia now is Digia and Morbidelli performing.
I know.
Because they're taking his second place off him.
They're taking his points.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And
Alex Marquez as well.
Yeah, and Alex Marquez as well. Like, that's the worst thing to happen. He was the head honcho at Ducati. He was almost let through half the races. And now they're not letting him through at all.
Well, Morb and credit to him, was fighting back.
Yeah.
And he had no right to fight back. His tires were gone. Yeah.
Because when we saw that championship battle, like, you know, a couple of years ago, it was like, oh, VR46, just fly on through. And it happened at most races. And look, from an onlooker, it seemed like that. It might not have been like that. But that's where it really got frustrating for me. But now, it seems like they're all in from themselves. If they're fighting for podiums, they want a podium.
Yeah.
And Morbidelli's fighting for his career as well.
Yeah.
So,
or is it going to be like a Chantra and just be in there for the next six the years?
Token. Yeah, like Peroni take over the Itsumitsu and it's just they want an Italian in there or something.
Where do you see Costa going? There's a lot of talk. Do you reckon he's staying at KDM, going to Honda, or going to VR?
Yeah, I think Honda. I think that's going to become a thing now. So, who knows what's going to happen? It's been the death of a lot of riders over the last I think a few years. Paul Espargaro. Yeah.
Lorenzo, Cheeseburger.
Cheesy. Marquez had to move. So it's a big move. But yeah, Zarco's sixth in the championship, looking pretty good.
What's your ideal? Let's say take Chantry out of it because we can't change that. What's your ideal HRC team? So you've got your two factory riders and just say your one rider and LCR. Who are you putting in?
I'd keep Mir in there. I think I'd keep Mir in there and have a Costa in there.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd bring Zarco up, even though he's performing. I think he suits that.
But you'd keep him in LCR?
Yeah, I'd keep him in
three
LCR.
Riders.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm happy with that.
And you wouldn't bring Toprak in?
No, I wouldn't bring Toprak, who's going to be new to MotoGP, on a bike like that, which seems very challenging to ride. For me, it'd be great. It'd be a star power. It'd be great for the sport. Love to see it. But if I'm Honda, I'm not bringing in a Costa and a Toprak. I'm bringing one or the other.
Well, Costa would be next year, so he's going to have a year. So 2026, I'm going to buy him out of his contract.
Yeah.
And then the play with Toprak is, as we spoke about last week.
Yeah, learn the bike and test Honda, the bike, because he can test the bike because he's not a current rider.
Yeah. So I would love, my heart says bring Toprak in, but my head says me, Acosta, Zarco as well. Same as you.
Yeah. 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 I think Mir's a world champion. He's doing much better than he was. For me, Marini is just there or thereabouts. Has he really got the X factor?
No, he's doing a lot better though. As I said, he scored more points in three rounds than he has of all of last season, or the first 19 rounds, whatever. Yeah. So he's doing a lot better. He's getting top tens. Where do you see Marini going then? If I suspect he's going
to
get booted.
Back to VR, bro. Back to VR.
But what about if Morbidelli has results all year?
It's the brother. They're going to bring him back. It's the token bro. He's got the blood. He's got the rule saw.
Blood's thicker than water.
Exactly right. Morbidelli, see you later, mate. My brother's coming back in. Of course, that. Even if he, you know, finishes third in the championship, still. You know what it's like, the Italians.
Yeah, that'd be annoying, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He's obviously fast. He's a Moto2 world champion.
All right, world famous.
It's just hard to judge when you're on a Honda.
Yeah.
But Zarco's making it work. Mir's doing better.
Yeah, I mean, the bike itself is doing better. Like, they're all so much broader. They're all doing better.
It's still at six in the title.
Yeah, if Mir was still, you know, low signing for fun, Meridian was finishing second last and Zarco was finishing sixth, there's still a fundamental issue with the bike.
Yeah.
But we know that they're all finishing, they're all in the chance of finishing in the top 10.
Getting Q2s.
Yeah, so.
That's a sign, really, is getting in the Q2.
And all three of them are going. I mean, Chandra's just, you know, don't worry about him. He's just there for the token.
It's kind of like with Chandra, I know we harp on it about it a bit, but this is as evident of an issue. Like, this is so prominent now. Like, this issue is so prominent. Like, Nakagami, I don't think, was ever this bad. Where Chantro just... Bro,
he's only four races in, though.
He's 3 seconds off the pace compared to Ayagura.
Harsh, harsh.
And bro. Furman.
Give him the year. Give him the year. Give it. We'll talk about this in 5 years' time when he's still there and he's still done nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's still 4 seconds off the pace.
Yeah.
The lap. Like, it's just... Have you seen the comments on LCR's page?
Oh, really?
It's ruthless.
Oh, okay.
Some of the comments are... I was surprised. But yeah. I went digging for him. Yeah, I was like, there has to be something. And it's there.
Get rid of him.
And it's like, why you got this guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, they have to. That's part of the deal, isn't it?
Yeah. They definitely have to. But yeah, as you said, another sponsor could come in and it can all change. All right. Thank you, everyone. Probably the most hot takes ever this week.
Wow.
Thousands. So again,
it's incredible.
Keep bringing them in. I just go through them. I try and go through all of them and just find the best ones. There's obviously a lot of double ups.
We miss a lot as well. We miss a lot. We don't want to be here. We don't want to be here for 5 hours going through them. But we appreciate it. Keep bringing them in. If you got any hot take, just get them through, and we'll read them out when we can.
Yeah, 100%. And remember, if you're a Patreon listener, all your hot takes will get read out on our Patreon episode.
Yes, guaranteed read out.
Guaranteed.
That's when we have no time limit on the Patreon.
Correct. At Pietro_late. Should Pedro go to HRC even though KTM raised him? So a bit of a moral. Bit of a moral question.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but they've shot themselves in the foot ultimately with their financial issues and not being able to develop the bike, and that's not his fault at all. So, and
they stuck through Pedro through the... early hard times? Should Pedro stick through with KTM through what their early hard times? Well, you know, they took a punt on him.
He won a world championship for him in Moto 3, Moto 2, and now he's raced them in the dark times. I think he's done his loyalty bonus.
All right. Well, I like it.
You agree as well.
I agree. I think, you know, yeah, he should race for who's going to give him a title.
Yeah.
We're not very loyal people, are we? At Keza_Brown_2006. And if that's your birth date, then I feel super old.
2006, my God, we were in grade 6.
Yep. Piastri for World Drivers Championship. We on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's going to to and fro through the whole year. And it's only, what, 10 points. So let's not get too excited and too ahead of ourselves. But Lando's going to come with a massive fight. So, yeah.
Is there a track where you think, if Oscar wins, he's like, he's going to win this?
Nah, not really. Because there's not like that. It's not like that in MotoGP. They don't come out and say, oh, I don't like this track or I really like this track. They're all just performed differently on different weekends. So there's, I can't pinpoint that at all.
There's something in Piastri's attitude that just, I think, rattles Lando and probably just, freaks out other drivers, but they just can't work him out. Like, there's,
yeah, it just probably does. It mentally cooks Lando that he doesn't probably... He gives nothing. That's the thing. And it would actually mentally freak me out. I want some... like, yell at me. Give me something. Call me an idiot or something. Like, stop. The worst thing you can do is, like, not react.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's what he... He reacts the exact same if he comes second.
And this
first.
Is why Lando's coming out in the media and just having these wild comments and lapping the field and all this stuff. Because, like, he just doesn't know what else to do to psych him out. It's just the weirdest scenario.
I don't think he can, man.
No, he can't.
I don't think
he can. He can't.
It's freaky. But that's a part of his charm. That's why a lot of people like him.
Yeah.
At Paladonenru, what do you guys think is right now going on in Bagnaia's head after seeing Mark Marquez's performance?
He's just, 100% fully cooked, isn't he?
A 100% fully cooked.
Yeah, it's cooked. I'm telling you. It's spaghetti and meatballs right now, bro. There's nothing much happening.
I don't agree. I think he still thinks... he's definitely still in this title, points-wise.
Nah, he's not.
But...
give it to him now. It's done.
But in Bagnaia's head, he still thinks he can win this title. Of course he thinks that.
Yeah, I mean... no, deep down, I
know... No, I don't want you to agree with me.
Good. He's deep down, he's going, it's done. My season's done.
Yeah.
Am my last two world championships mean less? Yes, I do.
I definitely think he's like, I've got Mugello, I've got these rounds coming up, I can win in Jerez. I can definitely turn.
Bro, we had this conversation 2 weeks ago. If Marquez wins in Qatar.
I know. But what I'm saying,
he finished eighth in the sprint. What did he finish in the sprint? Eighth or something? He went backwards in the sprint. It was ridiculous.
Martin passed him at one point.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, yes, he finished second in the main race because he had an unbelievable start and stuck to second. But
I agree. Marquez is going to win.
He should be on pole. He should have won that race.
Yeah, I agree. Marquez is the barometer. Marquez could have won the title. But in Bagnaia's head,
bro,
not
he's
Bagnaia.
He's 100%.
Nah, he still thinks he can win it.
Nah.
Of course he can still think
he's not delusional. The man's not delusional. Malbon. He always has one. Fuck you.
Tardotti's in his ear. Just like, you're not going to win it, mate. You're not going to win it. It's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. I tried to make that. It was too hard. Fuck, you got to teach me. You got to teach me some stuff.
Malbon.
He gets read out every week.
Yeah, he's a king of hot takes. He always has the best ones. The fact Pedro Acosta is moving towards Team Rossi and Furman is in Marc Marquez's camp makes their rivalry juicy. And I don't know if they really like each other, Furman and Pedro Acosta.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, Furman, we know he's a bit of a controversial figure in the back of the paddock. We've heard some different stories from different people over the years. He has his own little clan by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
The Tony Arbolino, the Alonso Lopez crew,
a few other Spanish mafia.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's different. People go one side or the other. It's sort of it's happened over the years with that.
Well, interesting you say that. If you asked Pedro Acosta 2 years ago, who was your hero in MotoGP? Who'd you look up to? Who was on the posters of your walls? He would say Marc Marquez. And then when he went into MotoGP, they asked him again, who was your hero in MotoGP? Who was the posters on your walls? He said Valentino Rossi. And they thought that was Pedro Acosta saying, I don't want to give Mark Marquez anything because I'm going to be fighting him for a world title.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
He's got a high, very high IQ, Pedro Acosta.
I don't think he's stupid at all.
No, I think he... Yeah, he's kind of goofy in some scenarios, but I think in like he's like that ditzy blonde that you meet. Then like, oh, and then you find out that she's a lawyer.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. Like the background, he's just very calculated with things he does and says, and
very like very high IQ in the media.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's a complete package. And I know I've been harsh on him.
You've been harsh on him, man.
I've been harsh on him. Well, you know, if Vinales can be up there, this bike has some sort of capability.
You were harsh on him before Vinales, though.
Of course, yeah.
Which I don't mind. I like a different take. We need to have different takes.
Son, he hasn't done. He's performed unbelievably those first few races, I know, but hasn't done much since.
One of our OG listeners, Matty Ould _. Thank you.
Trav's son. Yep. Go on.
What would you do / change in MotoGP to bring in more fans?
Bring in more fans. The racing's good enough, so we don't need to change anything about that. The personalities, I think, are open enough. They do enough media interviews. It's a very hard question, and I'm sure if we knew the answer, they would already be doing it. So,
I think it's a Netflix deal. In all honesty, I think it's a Netflix deal.
It's oversaturated now, though.
Yeah, it is. But with the same umbrella of F1, they could. It's like extending the olive branch out from F1 to MotoGP. The other thing as well, I reckon, is the actual racing events themselves have only been to a couple. They could be more fan friendly.
It's just up to the organizers, though, isn't it?
Like, yeah, but they get pushed by MotoGP.
I mean, we went to Thailand and we couldn't believe all the things that were outside the track. I mean, that was amazing. But at the end of the day, yes, I think the hard thing in Australia is going to be that it's at Phillip Island. It's not in the middle of the city. So it's not as
it's never you can't compare it.
You can't compare it. So,
but just say to bring in more fans, it's going to have to be something to do with like a TV deal.
Well, I think that's the. I mean, we know that's the right recipe, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're right. It's oversaturated. They'd have to mix it in with F1 somehow.
Yeah. Well, we know with Liberty Media coming on board, they're going to have the answers. They've going back to that. You know what I was just saying. They've got the recipe that's worked. So, can it be done again? Who knows?
I don't want it to be more popular anyway.
I'm the same. Yeah, I'm happy. Like, I'm happy Phillip Island's not, you know, $480 for a fucking grandstand ticket and you can't get into there, you can't leave, and it's like you have to sit in the one spot the whole way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy that I'm where it's at. I mean, I'd like to see a few more people there, but again, we always talk about this. You need a local hero for that as well. You need an Aussie rider that's going to be winning.
So. A good Aussie rider brings an extra 40,000 at PI.
Yeah. Or like a Rossi. Like, there's no one like that. So
the market that they really need to go for, which I know they're going to be doing, is the American market anyway. But the American market, their races in Europe is all like 3 a.m.
So that's so true, man. Like, and it was disgustingly low how that crowd was at Coda.
Yeah, the disgusting. American, and like we have our big American fans.
So it's at 3 a.m. the race.
Messages, but what's the time now?
I thought it was like
it's 7 o'clock now. Let's have a look. What's the time in LA right now? 2:11. New York. So that's it's balls deep middle of the night, and New York is 5:11. It's all both shit times.
But it's 7 o'clock.
Oh, 7 p.m. now.
So you're saying 10 p.m. is the race.
Yeah. So Moto 3. So they'll be turning it on right now for Moto 3. Yeah. And it's 2 a.m. or 5 a.m.
Yeah. It's shit times. Yeah. Yep.
So how do you build a market over...
Formula 1's the same though.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Formula 1's the same.
So they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point though. And, you know, to attract a new fan, it's a hard thing. Hard thing to do. Especially, yeah, and we go back to everyone drives a car, but not everyone has a bike, and that's the difference as well.
The Asian, and I think maybe you go for the eight more. I think you go for the Asian market.
Yeah,
to be honest, but I don't know how much money
they need
to
go back to China. They need a race in Shanghai. Like, yeah. That's you know, I think that's a big
thing. They got money, the Chinese. Jesus, they build everything. Build us a MotoGP track. Don't even worry about Shanghai.
Yeah,
at JW21 Racing. Alex Marquez will flop in the second half of the season. Hot take.
Yeah, it's a hot take. Really hot take. Yeah, I think he'll have to start to struggle. I don't think he can perform at every single track for the rest of the year. But you know what? It's been four tracks in a row, isn't it? So
I think realistically, he's on for a top five in every circuit.
He had a bit of a panic last race.
Still got a podium though, didn't he?
No, he finished like eighth.
Yeah, of course. I was thinking of Coda.
He smashed in the back of his brother, then smashed in poor Didier.
Yeah.
So he was panicking a little bit when he got back into the pack because he hasn't really had that for the first three races of the year. So, yeah, it's a bit of a wait and see.
I think he's on a top five for the rest. I think he's on for a top five.
Yep.
Dreaming underscore of underscore A underscore JZ. Mark will retire a back-to-back world champion in 2026. So he won't see the new regs. He won't see the new regs and won't go back to a Honda, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
I don't know. I like his thinking.
He's only 34?
34, something like that.
Yeah. It's getting on. Was
he 32? Kurt, are you able to look up Mark Marquez's age for us, please?
Well, he started when he was 22.
I thought he was only a couple years older than us.
Yeah, okay. Born in...
Anyway,
yeah.
I think he's going to go back to back and then go back to Honda. I've said this the whole time. Cody hasn't moved in. Where are we going? What do we got? Go on.
Fucking hour and 22.
Oh, no.
No. We said, how old is Mark Marquez?
But we employ Curtis to be our fact checker, but he's in a trance at the moment. He's got anime on the TV or something.
Okay.
32 years old, you're right. So he's probably got three or four more years.
I said to Curdy, how old is Mark Marquez? Bring the flashlight. And he goes, an hour and 22.
I love it.
Oh, that's why we love you.
Yeah, I love you, Curdy.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's exactly why
I've left his mic on.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You're lucky you weren't using that flashlight. I was
hearing the puff and the puff.
Otherwise, you would have heard churning butter in the background. And some dog whistles.
He's shaking his head.
Can't give me a gap like that, Curdy. I'll always jump in.
Yeah. Like last quarter of hers.
Yeah.
He gave you the opening, Curdy.
He gave me an invite like Alex Crivier on Mick Dillon. It's exactly what you did. It's like churning and butter.
Yeah,
at It's Cold Papa, obviously number one ticket holder.
I just sent out a search warrant for him this morning. Didn't get a message after the race. We were nervous.
Yep.
I was calling the Mumbai Police Department because he wasn't answering any messages. And he said he had watched the race and had to get... He was quickly in transport. So, but he's got to be back. He's back. He's fine. So that was all right.
We look out for our number one ticket holders. You're looking out for him.
He was number one ticket holder for 2024, so you have to. He's always going to be... You can't take that off him.
No.
You can't forever. Take it off him. He's number got one. Forever. Yeah.
Original.
We'll have a plaque.
We need like a baggy green for our number one ticket holders.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Add that to the list.
Yeah.
Add that to the log list.
It's getting longer day by day.
Day by day, yeah.
At this current stage, how many races do you think Mark is going to win this year?
How many races are left? 17 races left. Probably 16 of them.
Fuck.
Yeah.
He'll have some hurdles. So he'll probably win I reckon he's going to win 12 races this year. Main races. Yeah. I'm only talking main races.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway. @B_Rothberg. Lance Stroll is a money laundering exercise for his dad to avoid tax.
Yeah, well, we touched on it earlier, didn't we? He's getting worse by the years. He's not getting any better.
He's not getting any better. He's the last token F1 driver.
Yeah, he is.
Luke, this is a hot take. Tom, be ready for this. You just got ADHD'd yourself just then.
Yeah, I was like, why is this my camera dirty?
Fuck, you're on a live podcast.
Live?
Yeah.
We can cut it out.
I got secret cameras. @Luca.GNK. For the rest of the season, Mark Marquez won't finish on the podium.
What?
That's the hot take.
Luca, are you from Italy? Are you suggesting you're from Italy, Luca? Statistics say yes. No, he'll win. He'll win this weekend.
That would have to
convincingly.
That would have to be probably the worst hot take, probably in Republic of history.
Oh, I've had some bad ones, but
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, he got on.
That's I think why he did
any publicity is good publicity. That's right. So, Luca Bagnaia is 100% cooked, fully cooked. He's a well-done steak at the moment, unfortunately. So.
I love how you're just assuming where he's from as well.
Oh, well, assuming for the sake of assumption. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
We're going to play some Isle of Man TT now because I am...
We have to watch the end of the footy. I had to drag James away from the footy.
Yeah.
Did you see the results?
Nah. But who watches a replay footy game?
The last 10 minutes we'll watch.
I'm not a fucking pussy.
No, you've had your moments. Thanks, everyone.
See you guys.
See ya.